Thup, the single greatest Husky statesman of the last 30 years, is back on sabbatical. Stalin, try and hold this shit show together until fall camp. I'll be back for a few weeks to boost your ratings. Clearly I did this spring. You can twist the numbers, but it's obvious Pup pays the bills. Keep up the good fight. Hopefully I don't get an error message next time I log in. Holy fuck all. Have always liked you, Derek. You ain't a bad dude. Good Saradobi.
Another one. All right, we the best. I'm out.
With Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him.
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
The weather is perfect, the field is fast at the Rose Bowl for tonight's ball game.
Well, guys, if I were, you know, here we are on March 30th, if I were to tell you guys back on, like, you know, New Year's Day, that Kalen DeBoer would be gone, Troy Dannon would be gone, Jed Fish from Arizona would be our coach, 20 of 22 starters would be gone, and Pat Chun of Washington State would be our athletic director, you guys would have asked me what I was smoking, probably. So here we are, and yet we can't get rid of Dirty South Dog. Explain. Shout out.
Dirty.
So here we are doing a, I don't even know what we're calling this, a Jed Fish temperature check, or this might be the you know, the shortest podcast in history.
Pre-spring preview. Or,
pre-spring preview. Extravaganza. So I think, you know, I saw post-game Orange Slicers came back to the boards after a little bit of a sabbatical, shall we say. And it's, to me, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like he's kind of publicly trying to talk himself into being fired up again. And we're all trying to just get our bearings and with the university football team that doesn't really seem to have a face on it or a personality or identity. So anyways, I've kind of set the stage there, and, you know, Wooly, what's going through your noggin?
You know, I'm ready to have an offensive line, you know. I'm ready for spring. Stoked for this, this, you know, post-spring portal. That's what college football is to come. We're really excited for, you know, to get practice over with so we can start stealing other schools' players. Like, congratulations.
yeah.
The money assholes and the political whiner assholes who were just so upset with the horrible format of college football. This is what you created. We do not care about the actual practice. I'm literally just like, I can't wait to get some guy to, boy, I hope Parker Brailsford transfers back. I heard he's going to transfer from Alabama. And I hope.
Are you serious?
Someone posted that yesterday, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, because they got a guy named Tyrone from fucking Shreveport that is like bigger than him and better than him. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Go ahead, Wooly. Sorry.
Oh man, shocking! I could have told you that. But no, also being, you know, it's 2024 and being the loser that I am. I mean, yeah, like I looked at like guys at social media and stuff like that. You see guys that's like, yeah, they don't like even like Jeremy Bernard. I'm like, it's all Husky stuff. Like, what are, like, why, like, it's like, yeah, you probably don't want to go to fucking Alabama, but you feel like you have to go. So yeah, no, I mean. The Brailsford thing was legit thing that like Bama podcast and stuff were talking about. It wouldn't surprise me. He probably won't go to Washington. He'll probably go to fucking Oregon. He'll go to Oregon for the bag. Yeah, they're gonna. That's the college football to come. I mean, you're literally just hope all you're waiting for is the off season that you can know if you're going to have a fucking team or not, or you're going to go 4-8 and you're going to wonder if you should still follow, which they should be very careful, college football people who ruined it. Like, one big thing to me about culture now is, like, when you quit something of realizing, like, oh, now I got 48 hours a week back to care about other stuff, like, be careful. Like, when people stop caring about stuff now, it's like I stopped following the NBA, and I was like, yeah. Oh, cool, I got a bunch of time back, and it turns out I didn't really miss the NBA that much. Like, all right, bye. Or, like, regular season college basketball, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There was something I was going to write on the board the other day about, because I wrote the other day 5 years ago, sports writers, hey, you got to pay all the players, and then like sports writers now, like, money's ruining college football. It's like, yeah, what did you expect was going to happen, you fucking idiot? You had a great formula to begin with. Nobody protected the model NCAA had with the players, and now look what you have. I hope you're all happy, but you all did it for like player access. You can't piss off the players, you know, because they won't do an interview with you or something. So,
has it crossed any of your guys' minds? And the name that's popping into my head is Apostle of Grief, AOG, but with his, you know, infatuation with the Central Washington Wildcats that he inflicts on the rest of us. But has it occurred to you guys to adopt at any point, even fleetingly, to adopt a division, you know, a lower division team, you know, a Litfield or a Central Washington or somebody like that? And follow them.
Well, my team left. Western Washington Vikings, yeah. Left. So.
Our closest small school quit. Bruins football.
That's the only college. The only college I actually went to left. So, yeah.
I mean, I went to WSU, so you know I could adopt the Coug, which would be really fun. speaking of lower division,
you know,
football, I mean,
me blurting that out, though, I'm sure that some people out there are even like shutting off their podcasts or whatever. It's like they want to listen to Husky talk, and here we are speculating on whether we need to go buy some you know, Linfield gear or whatever. But it's like the whole
you could have kept it in state and said either down or PLU, or you have to go Linfield.
Well, I wrote that Parker Moore book, and it was centered on Linfield largely. So I think that's what happened there. But I guess the whole thing, some of the comments that were made on the boards following our last podcast, or two, not the Thin Lizzy one, but from two episodes ago, or maybe it was the one that me and Dougals did, where people were commenting that it's like they were extrapolating off of what Dougals was saying, that the whole experience of following with great interest somebody, a recruit, and then having them come in and redshirt and develop, and then seeing that come to fruition when they're upperclassmen, and that was such a rich part of following college football for a lot of people. And,
yeah, now it's gone.
It's completely gone. And I don't want to repeat the same things we said in prior podcasts, but I guess that was the genesis or the jump-off point of me asking that question about another division school. We can get back to the Huskies here because that's what people want. But anyways, you guys can respond to what I just said in any way that you choose to. Take it any direction.
I mean, the problem is, like, with a lot of stuff, it's like they already ruined other stuff. So it's like, case in point, like, we don't have a local school. We don't have a local small college to follow because it was canceled at Western Washington University.
Yeah.
I'm like, college basketball sucks now, unless you want to gamble on March Madness or you just want to casually watch the end of games. High school sports suck. They ruin those. They're all recruited, and they're all about small private schools and who can recruit the most.
True.
Like, that's happened 20 years ago. They ruined high school sports. yeah, no, it's like I'm not really going to get into music, movies, or TV. They've all been ruined. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy. You can't go to a park here because it's full of people from Seattle who suddenly decided that they, you know, they love the outdoors and they, you know, they want to get out of the city and ruin the place, ruin everywhere else. So,
and by the way, man,
yes,
I can even add to that, even though you guys won't care about this, but Netflix is now reaching out its tentacles into South Korea and they're producing one K-drama after another, and they're putting in all this occult stuff and death and mass murders and corrupting that now. So okay. It's like,
and they got the WWE.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even watch porn anymore. I mean, without having to talk to somebody.
Okay.
That's not why I got into this.
Let's see. Willie says that they ruined Pornhub too. Okay.
Yeah, they're canceling Pornhub.
I think it was about, wasn't it about a, it was about a year ago we did the same type of podcast and we were wondering why
they canceled Pornhub.
I seem to remember like why there was no excitement going into the year or something like that.
That's true.
We're all like, everything was the same. Like all the players came back, all the coaches' names came back.
Yeah.
There was no something new to look for.
There was no intrigue. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no intrigue. It was just kind of
No, not a single person was going to get drafted, so it was like a weird time. The basketball program sucked.
There was nothing.
That's a good point.
Now there's almost too much
fade now.
Well, now there's almost too much intrigue. Now there's so much change. We don't even know what to do with ourselves right now. We don't know anybody. You know, by the way, that Danny Sprinkle press conference, like, that's kind of what you want, you know, a coach that, you know, just got hired to sound like, you know what I mean?
Like, say that last part again.
It's kind of what we wanted. Tell Lola, shut up. It's what we want a new coach to sound like, you know? It's,
good. Like I didn't hear it.
No, he sounds like he desperately wanted to be here. Like, remember when I said, like, we don't have a guy crawling on his hands and knees that wants to be, you know, Washington coach when it was, you know, time to hire a football coach, you know? Now it's like we got a basketball coach that, you know, sounds like he wanted to – like he desperately wanted this job. He's like crying within like 10 seconds.
Are you kidding me?
No, he was like, he was like crying. He was tearing up and he's talking about how his dad would take him to, I think this was on the radio interview, but his dad would take him to one Husky football game a year and would buy him.
So he's from here.
He was born. His dad was a defensive back for the Huskies.
Oh.
His dad was a defensive back for the Huskies. He was born in Pullman because they lived in Moscow and there was no hospital. So he's like really, him and his dad are really like bitter about that or something like that. He grows up in Montana, I think, because he played at Montana State, played basketball there or whatever, but he's always been like a Husky fan. So
he's not going to end up at Duke 2 years from now.
Maybe, probably. So we don't
1 year. 1 year.
But it just, right.
6 months.
They make the second round and he's gone.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, Jed Fish doesn't sound like, you know, he desperately wants to be. I mean, basically, he straight up said, like, he took the, one of the reasons he took the job was to get his assistants, you know, more money.
Well, he doubled his salary also, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he doubled or tripled, like, some of his assistants' salaries, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, he's like the second wife where you're like, yeah, he's in it for the money, but, like, at least I know that now. And, like,
yeah. At least I'm like, I know how to, hot wife.
Yeah, at least she's hot, and I know, I know how to manage it better now. I'm not going to, you know, put everything in. Yeah, you know, you're not going to invest emotionally, but you're pretty stoked for, yeah. And you signed a prenup.
But you know what?
Yeah.
About Jed Fish, though, it's like, I think you guys would probably echo what I say, that if he suddenly up and left 2 years from now, we'd be shocked by it, but it'd be like, all right, after what happened with DeBoer and everything. But the thing is that for whatever time he's here, you know he's going to go balls to the wall in terms of recruiting and stuff. And that's reassuring.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, yeah, you get Dugs who are like, you might leave, and like Coug fans and Duck fans. It's like, yeah, I don't fucking care anymore. Like, I just want him. I didn't even really care that much about DeBoer. I was just pissed that I felt like there's even a remote possibility that DeBoer was distracted from winning a national title. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think most, you know, non-Dewey Husky fans are like, yeah, if he wins enough to where he can leave in 2 years, like, that's what college football is going to become. That's what, I mean, is basically, because the Sabins and those coaches, they don't want to fucking coach college anymore because, as we have mentioned before, it's so fucked out now that, like, yeah, unless you get like an alum or like a guy like Danny Sprinkle, it sounds like, who has like an emotional connection to your school or region, like, fuck it, win and figure it out. Like, don't, yeah, we're divorced and we're ready for, you know, the fun wife.
Single and ready to mingle.
Yeah.
Well, so paint this, like, just draw up this little scenario. So he takes, I know that fucking dipshit Wilner thinks he's going to take the Florida job next year, but, what if he could take an NFL. I mean, he's already like wanting to, he's going to take an NFL job.
I can see that.
Yeah.
He'd have to really do something special here, though.
Yeah. But I mean, he's probably going to take an NFL job. And, you know, so Ryan Grubb is still in town, different AD, you know, wanted the job. I'm just saying,
you heard
like,
it here first.
We're not in like a terrible spot, like, you know.
Who's his agent?
Yeah. Well,
it's
we
not a bad.
Didn't we hire the same fucking firm that the firm that brought Troy Dan in here was the firm that took him to Nebraska, and then wasn't it the same firm that brought Pat Chun here? So
are you speculating, or was it?
I think it was. I know it was the same firm. It was that Parker Management or something firm that brought Dan in here and then took him away. And then I want to say they either renegotiated the money, or I can't remember, but.
So they're the master of puppets.
Jimmy Sexton controls all coaches in college and pro football. Pretty nuts.
I mean, yeah, it's not a – it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of not. I mean, I think Sexton works for CAA, which is like – there used to be like 10 talent agencies for like everything, you know, like – the actors, writers, directors. Now it's almost just like one. And I think he worked for it, and it's like, yeah, it's all becoming like, you know, everyone is controlled by one entity, you know. I've been on Twitter. I've been I've been doing my research, and it turns out I'm starting to wonder if, you know, there's some stuff that's controlled all by one entity under one sign, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I was actually with a good friend last night. I can't remember what we were talking about. And he was like, he started spouting some kind of like Illuminati sounding shit. And then he was like, but I'm like, where are you getting this information? He's like, Twitter, man. Twitter is where it's at. Like, oh, my God. He wasn't being, like, ironic. He was, like, dead serious. He's like, he's like, you're on Twitter, right? I'm like, yeah, it's that fucking cesspool. Like, on any direction, you're going to get, no matter what your affiliations are or your leanings, like, you're going to get bad information, dude. He's like, no, man. Like, it's so good. Okay, all the good information. Totally not even like ironic or like discerning in the slightest. He was dead serious.
Right.
But that's where you get the good husky information. It's actually unfortunate with sports. I feel like sports is the one thing where like the Twitter hive mind, like people making up perception, is like the one place where that is the source where people are like, oh yeah, like Oregon's loaded. Like, where did you get that from? One per, like, a few bots on Twitter said that? Like, yeah, well, yeah, totally. Where Husky is just, like, you get your real information from Hardcore Husky and the chat guy when you're looking for your inside info.
The chat guy?
Well, he knows a thing or two. Yeah, I'm joking. The truth is I get a lot of the first time I hear a lot of Husky news, like the Parker Brailsford thing I said earlier, it's just literally people posted on the board, and then anytime anything negative happens with the Husky, it's that the chat guy pops up and is like, yeah, I heard about this, and here's another negative thing that for some reason I got insider info, but I would never ever possibly be like, here's a positive piece of info I got from some Husky fan who's telling some random Duck fan, anonymous Duck fan. I'm rambling, but it also reminds me of when, you know, one of the things we cared about was who killed Big Ear Tupac. There was this, like, guy who kept popping up on VH1 shows, and he was like, I got the sources of who killed Biggie. It was Bloods and L.A. gang system, and then people would be, like, on the show, like, well, you're talking to this guy, Russell Davis, and his source is anonymous gang members. Like, I don't really trust this guy.
Right.
Like, this guy's been talking about this for 12 years, and not all his sources are anonymous L.A. gangbangers.
the chats guy sounds like Chris Hansen or something, you know? the Catch a Predator guy.
Oh, yeah.
I got the chats right here.
I thought that Chris Hansen was the guy that tried to get the Sonics to come back to Seattle.
That was another Chris Hansen. I'm talking about the I got the chats right here.
Yeah, they were same name, different guy.
I'm blown away. There are two Chris Hansens in the world, but okay.
Isn't the guy on NFL Red Zone, is that Chris Hansen or is that Scott Hansen? No, maybe that's Scott Hansen.
This is Riveting Radio. Hey, how about that Thin Lizzy?
How about him?
Jailbreak!
Yeah, they are.
Number one album. Okay. Well,
I mean, if we go back to the beginning, yeah, I mean, and on the field, we're literally like, for spring, you're like, let's see what they try to like operate with an offensive line as. That's the big thing. Yeah, they legit have like 6 or 7 scholarship linemen, and one of them is Landon Hatchett, who sounds like he's pretty fucked up. So, I mean, it's kind of like the draft. This year's NFL draft is kind of like the, the last movie in the franchise where we're like, well, let's enjoy that and then we're all going to die and see where that goes. But yeah, because, I mean, yeah, it's a good point from Joey that last year things were pretty quiet, because it was like there was no mystery. But the problem to me now, too, is like to complain further is, like, last year at least, I was like, well, I'm looking at ASU's depth chart and Oregon and Utah, like, man, like, how are these games, like, projecting, like, you know, how they stack up next year? But, like, one, I don't know shit about any of these teams they play next year. I don't know who's on their team. And then probably, like, half of them are probably like the Huskies, where it's like, yeah, we don't know. They don't even know who's going to be on their team. So I can't even, like, look ahead to the next season. Other than, you know, the mantra of don't wet your pants yet. Get to 5-0 and play fucking Michigan comes to town. And, you know, hope that they're probably going to have some quarterback who throws for fucking 40 yards. And we're not going to have Jimmy Lake, who somehow loses to said quarterback who throws for 40 yards. And their endless parade of undrafted free agents who fucking Roger Rosengarten's going to go in the first round to the 49ers, but couldn't block fucking guy from Port Huron to save the fucking game. So we're getting revenge. We're going to be like BYU in 1985 against the Huskies, you know, after the Huskies should have taken the national title from BYU, and then they got revenge at home because they played a depleted team. So that's what I got.
David Toy fumbling at the 1 yard line. I'll never forget that.
Well, it's another beef with sports writers. They the whole time leading up to that Orange Bowl. God, we shouldn't dive into this, but the whole time leading up to that Orange Bowl, like, well, this is the national title and this will be the number one game. And then after it happens, they're all like, well, we got to vote BYU because they went undefeated. Like, well, wait a minute.
Well, that's not completely true. There was I remember that pretty well, and they were very much talking about how they had a vote of AP voters, Associated Press guys, and the consensus was is that if Oklahoma won, they would be crowned national champions, but if Washington won, BYU would be crowned champions. They voted that before the game.
I feel like that's what my dad said. Not to show you wrong, but I feel like that is what my dad thinks about.
Yeah.
And he's always right.
So, you know, I remember Don James too, after he was interviewed after the polling came out and the Huskies were number two, and he said, well, you know, I'm not going to jump off a damn roof, you know. That was his direct quote. Like, what do you want me to do, you know?
If people forget that, like, people were less obsessed, you know, I know this because I wasn't alive when I was, you know, I think my mom was probably, I don't think she was even pregnant with me yet during that time, during the Orange Bowl. But, people forget. I don't think people were as obsessed with, you know, determining who the ultimate champion was in life as much. Like, I forget, like, if you talk to, you know, like my parents and stuff like that, and they're like, yeah, there wasn't like a high school sports tournament, like a state championship. It's just like you played your regular season and you were done. Or like baseball, it was like, yeah, like what was it? Like, I think the teams with the best records went to the World Series and that was it. Like, it's like we weren't as like, which is also a good Joey point of like another thing layer of like the same sports writers and Twitter dorks who were like, well, we need a playoff. Now they're like, no, we don't want like a 16 team playoff. I'm like, well, you bitch everyone into getting the playoff. Now, yeah, the money people are going to keep stacking. You know, they're going to cancel the way you can tackle in the NFL, but they're going to add another game where guys can get hurt on the season every year. Like,
and keep
like,
playing
the
Thursday game.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you keep bitching to create holes where an industry can, you know, fucking extract money from it. They're going to keep expanding the playoff until they're at like 64 teams in a play-in game that no one cares about, because I'm sure they can whittle some money out of the four teams that, you know, play those play-in games for a TV contract. Like that. Yeah. Like it's the
same guy. I know
you're
exaggerating, but 32 will happen.
Yeah.
And it's horrific.
Yeah. They're going to create, they're either going to do like a 32 team playoff or they're going to be like, and then they're going to sell it themselves. Cause then they're going to be like, well, did Minnesota or, you know, did Texas Tech, did they get screwed? It's like, who fucking cares? Like, it's like, the college basketball term, it's like 68 teams get in. Like, if you get cut out, it's like, if you were, what, would like the 69th best team? Like, dude, who cares? Like, everyone's getting in. Like, that's...
It's, but imagine you have to win 5 postseason football games in order to be champion.
It's dumb. Horrific. We're going to be... Yeah, we're even next year, there are going to be home games and, like, fucking...
Horrible.
State College, Pennsylvania, and December 15th when it's fucking 4 degrees and they're going to win a 6-3 game over a not very good Mississippi team with Husky players that both guards who get their shit kicked in, and we're going to be like,
I remember that running back who played for the Huskies.
It's
wondered where he went.
Yeah, already so bad. Like, I was watching a game, and they're like, this guy played for 4 schools. Like, why is that not cool? Like, I'm not, like, going to take some weird high ground against it, but I'm just like, huh, what? This guy, why has he played for 4 fucking schools? Like, I can't even follow it anymore. But, yeah, we're already next year. You forget that, too. Like, it's the same thing of – like, we're going to have to watch Oregon in the playoff next year, but it's not because they make the Final Four. It's because they're going to be, like, the 11th team, and then they're going to hang the banner all over everyone the whole fucking time. Like, we were playoffs. It's like, yeah, it's different when you're the 11th team that gets in as opposed to the second team. So, yeah, it's the same
like
people.
The Mariners winning their division some random year, and then they put up a division champion banner. You beat out 3 other teams. Good for you.
Hang the banner. Favorite on sports, favorite on FanDuel by 10 points.
Hey, you've got to, we shit on it all the time, but if, you kind of got to play the game. Like Oregon, is always like, oh, this guy came back for his senior year. It's like, he was not going to get drafted, but you got to play the hype game.
Yeah, the Huskies
you kind of have to do it. You kind of got to do it now. That's kind of the game. That's kind of the game that's being presented to us. Yeah, I like how they went. They're like, yeah, we're gonna do a 12-team playoff now, and then in like 3.5 days, they're like, we're moving to 14. It's like, what? We didn't even get to complain about the 12-team playoff yet.
Yeah.
You're moving to 14, and it's like, why can't you just go to 16 like everybody else? But we have to be like, everything has to be so different. Everything has to be different in, Division I, FBS, whatever. Like, no, we got to be different. We have to – it
can't
ever be –
The bowl system was fine.
Normal, yeah, yeah.
Well, I know I'm just crying in the wilderness.
But... Just wait for the fucking Dan Woken and Pete Thamel and Pat Forties. They'll all be like, hey, what was wrong with the bowl system? what was wrong with a $250,000 free scholarship these players got? Just wait for those stupid cunty guys to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always I've probably mentioned it here, at least on the board too, of this, like, the bowl system and, like, voting for the champion, given how all we care about now is fucking arguments and bitching and debate in life
and Twitter,
media now.
Yeah.
And Twitter is like, yeah, it was the best system of all time. Like, you got to just bitch about everything forever. and it's the same thing of, like, hypothetically, I think they would have beaten Miami. But, like, let's say there was even just, like, a BCS championship in 1991. The Huskies go play in Miami, and they fucking lose. Like, how much less invested would the program wouldn't be what it is. But instead, they didn't play. They get to claim a national championship. We get to claim it. And then we get to argue for eternity until we all die. And, like, that would have been, like, almost more, like, valuable than, like, yeah, if we would have played a game, now we're just going to play playoffs, and you're going to fucking – there's going to be teams that are, like, better that are going to start losing, which they already kind of did that with the conference championships. Like, I mean, there's a
but
decent chance.
But you're still going to have – I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no, like, Georgia might have been the best team last year, but they just lost by, like, one point in their conference championship, which wouldn't have existed 25 years ago before they had those. Like back in the day,
right.
Georgia probably would have went to like the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl and beat the shit out of someone, and they would have been like even though the Huskies or Michigan were undefeated, everyone would be like, "Eh, Georgia was probably better." But they lost to Alabama, who easily should have beaten Michigan probably, and probably would have beaten the Huskies. And in my own
that's the thing is, you know, the stupidest argument, I think I've brought it up multiple times, is, you know, you have a playoff, then the regular season doesn't matter as much. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay, so let's go 0-12. Doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter.
When it comes to the NBA, it matters. It doesn't matter. So I don't know if we're talking apples and oranges there, but.
The people have spoken in this country, you know, fuck the NBA, basically. But, but they got it all wrong. I lost track of what I was saying now that you,
sorry.
But they've had it all wrong this whole time. The pointless things are the championship games. Like, Washington didn't have to play that fucking championship game last year. You know,
correct.
Georgia shouldn't have had to play that championship game.
Correct.
They were the defending champions twice over, you know, and then they basically get into a game where it's almost like a lose-lose or what. They're not gaining anything if they win that game. You know, and then same with Michigan. Like, they have to play fucking 10-3 Iowa that celebrates punts. You know, that's a joke. You know, it's the championship games that are stupid.
I mean, yeah, I forgot 2018. The first Utah game was like a weird week two game. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot they already beat fucking Utah in Salt Lake City that year. And then they almost lost the
championship. They went there and beat them. Yeah.
They beat them by 14 at home and hospitalized Britton Covey. And then they had to go beat them on a neutral field and almost lost because Peterson's offense was so terrible. Yeah, I mean, the championship
game. Was that the 10-3 game?
Yeah, the Byron Murphy pick was the only touchdown in the whole entire game.
Horrible game, that's right.
Okay, that was 20, and then, wait a minute, so 2017 was the Browning helicopter, right?
Against Utah?
Was that 2017?
2017, that was like the comeback. The crazy comeback, Browning helicopter.
Yeah.
They were about to give up on the season because I think they had lost to Stanford the week before. Yeah, that was 2017.
Oh, ASU, yeah. They already had the ASU game where no kicker could kick it past the line of scrimmage. And yeah.
Okay, yeah, Peter kind of had a punter try to kick a field goal, and he missed like a 19-yard field goal.
Yeah. Did Cayeno hit a 38-yard field goal at time expired?
Was that Durkee? Was that Corey Durkee?
I think he had Durkee. Vince Cayeno that couldn't kick field goals, but now he's like still in the NFL as like a kicker, but he couldn't.
it's insane.
Yeah. It's insane.
Insane.
Yeah. He's like the best NFL kicker they've had since like Jeff Jaeger. And he lost them that game because he couldn't make like 28-yard field goals. And Todd Graham and was stealing signs. The debate thing of like, I'm not going to, you know, argue against some sort of playoff, but I will argue that like, yeah, it wasn't like, it was kind of a cool system. And college football is weird as fuck. No one else in the world cares about college sports. It's weird. It's a weird circumstance that we all do, like kind of embrace being weird. And like, it was kind of a cool format. And yeah, it was, this year was the one year where it's like, well, yeah, in the old system, the Huskies of Michigan naturally would have just played in the Rose Bowl. And Michigan probably would have won. I still think that's like a 50-50, 5 out of 10 matchup where 50-50, if you played that game 100 times, I think each team wins 50 times, but despite the 21-point loss. But yeah, I went through too in my.
Oh, wait a minute.
I went through and
quick question though. If they played 100 times, would our coach be looking to jump ship every one of those 100 games? That could affect
exactly.
the percentage.
You know, yeah. we're not doing some sort of like multiverse. We're not doing a true multiverse here where it's like, you know, maybe someone gets in a car. J.J. McCarthy gets in a car accident on the way to the stadium and, you know.
God willing.
Are they actually kick out and punish Harbaugh and Michigan like it all seemed they were until it seemed like Washington was going to play them in the title game, which is like the weirdest multiverse thing of like October. Like I was 100%. I'm like, I didn't think Washington would make it that far at that point with how crappy they played. But I'm like, well, you don't got to worry about Michigan because like Michigan's done. Like they're not going to they're going to suspend Michigan and they're going to fucking get rid of Harbaugh before the season's over. And suddenly it was like,
yeah,
then it was like, no, we don't care. We kind of like them now. It's like, what? Like, come on, Ohio State, get on your shit. Start buying more writers, sponsored content and shit and start fucking with the NCAA. But no, it's like, I went through a lot of years and you go like, if they would have just kept the bowl system, like there's only a handful of years where it really like, it was like, oh, we kind of needed a playoff or like a BCS championship because there was like multiple undefeated teams or everyone had one loss. And I kind of feel like once you hit one loss too, it's like, it's a debate anyways, you know, like, like who cares? Like if you have a playoff and like there was like years where there a year that like Alabama and LSU played like three times, like they played in the regular season. They don't play in the SEC championship because they're the same division, but you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't like this great, huge amount of years where it's like, for example, like 2000, like Oklahoma was undefeated, like Miami, the Huskies, and Florida State had one loss. Like you can't really bitch too much about like Florida State didn't really, no one did, like Oklahoma could have just played a bowl game and been fine. Like, sure, there was years where it's like there's two undefeated teams that aren't going to play each other in a bowl. Then I would also argue they easily could have just like a lot of years been like, I think they tried to do with Miami and Washington and been like, you guys got to play in a bowl. And if there's three teams, shit, we're that kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at the, you know, the FCS playoffs, like every team in it has one or two losses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And I still find myself when there's, you know, no other games on in late December or whatever, like I'll watch a semifinal between, you know, South Dakota State and fucking Sam Houston State or whatever. Like I'll watch those games. It doesn't like, I mean, it's football, you know, and you end up watching those games and then once like the draft comes around, they're like, oh, this little receiver from South Dakota State, you know, is, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that guy from that playoff game I watched, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take any shine off that game just because they have one or two losses. It's kind of ridiculous that they would, you know, be like, oh, the playoff, you know, you have to be undefeated to get in the playoff. Like, that's the stupidest. We don't teach our kids, you know, growing up, like, you have to be undefeated in life, you know. Like, there's going to be failures, you know. It's the one weird thing about college football. Like, you can't fail at anything.
Oh, I was going to say something and I forgot.
You're 100% correct, right?
Yeah. No, you're 1,000% right on that. I was going to add something to it, and I was waiting for the end of your sentence, and then I went to go get the thought, and it was gone. I do have another thought that I've had back in my mind for 20 minutes, though, just to throw in, is that, like, when the Huskies
completely imploded and went 0-12. Who was ultimately behind that? Mark Emmert. And then if you look at how the NCAA has just completely fallen apart to its current state, who was at the helm? Mark Emmert.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, it's pretty bad that we had that guy, you know.
And I have no proof of this, but it's been my theory. I have no proof. It is my theory that when all that pressure was being brought to bear and the public debate was raging in December of 2007 about whether Willingham should be brought back, and Emmert brought him back, I think that the NCAA quietly told him that he would become the NCAA president within 24 months when the Miles guy stepped down if he held firm and kept Willingham in there. And I think that was his payoff. That's just a theory.
Miles Brand?
Miles Brand.
Yeah, I remember when I think it was on like the Bobby Knight documentary or something, he was talking about Miles Brand, and he was like, I'm glad he's dead. And he's a, you know, because Miles Brand was, I think he was the Indiana president or whatever that, you know, fired him or whatever. Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
And he's like, I'm glad he's dead. The guy's scum of the earth or whatever.
That's a great quote. Yeah. It's been like towards the end of his 30 for 30. And he's like complaining. He's like, yeah, I fucking hate everyone who has associated with that administration. And then the interviewer was like, well, a lot of them are dead. He's like, good. I hope it was like painful. He's talking about that. And yeah, it's like, I emailed Mark Emmert because, he had like a page when he got the job pretty early in his job and said like cheating will not be tolerated. It was this long, fucking long, really weird given how quickly they folded on like the NIL stuff immediately. This long thing about how cheating, it was like his homepage on his like website on the NCAA thing about how cheating's not tolerated. It was like right in the middle when they were like, hey, Oregon wrote a university check to a bag man who, Chip Kelly, was like clearly like basically giving checks to this guy to get players, and like he was presenting fake dead players and shit, like it's fake like things to cover it, like it was obvious. And then they were like, we're gonna take like one scholarship away for over the course of 10 years and like get him with like a $20,000 fine. And I like emailed him, it's like, oh, cheating will not be tolerated, clearly. Fucking Emmert. Yeah. Great job.
Yeah, I helped compose a letter to President Emmert that was from Herb Mead, and then I was going to mail it, and Herb Mead instructed me to drive over and hand deliver it. I was in Herb Mead's employ at that time, ghostwriting a book. You see.
So I
drove over there in December of 2007 and went into Emmert's office and hand delivered it. So,
did you leave your jacket there? So he had to call you back.
my old members only jacket.
Hey, you left your jacket here. Let's hang out.
No, but I tell you what, it would have been what then? 2.5 years later, I was sitting in Emmert's office interviewing him for the Willingham book. That was weird, but. At that time, I had absolutely no idea I was going to write a book about Willingham and all that mess. But
I just, anyway. I just, you know, remember the time I saw him at the Sun Mountain Lodge in full makeup.
Yep. Well, I've said this
guy
before
wears,
on the board.
Guy wears makeup.
I've said this before on the board. Is that I interviewed Emmert in his office. I interviewed Scott Woodward in his office. And going into those interviews, I thought that Scott Woodward was going to be the soft guy and Emmert would have I figured if I would sit down with him, there'd be a toughness to him. And it may sound like I'm trying to put him down. I'm not. I'm just telling you how it was. His hands were like a baby's buns. They were so soft. and he couldn't look me in the He would not look me in the eye during the hour and a half that I talked to him.
Weird.
And Woodward, he and I, and this was not adversarial at all, at least from my point of view, but Woodward and I locked eyes multiple times while we were talking and stuff. He was very direct, very cordial, very direct. And
I forget, you know, why do we call him, why do we call him Pool Boy? I forget that.
Are you joking?
Yeah. No, you're joking. I can't remember why, what's the Pool Boy thing? My mind's blanking.
Because this was back in the days of the heart of the Husky Half Brain podcast, and Woodward, Emmert fired Todd Turner, and then was going to begin a nationwide search to find a athletic director, and all of a sudden he hired Scott Woodward, who had never worked in an athletic department before. So Race Bannon started referring to him as Emmert's pool boy.
That's right.
And somebody even made a meme back then where you see this lady in a bikini laying, and it's got Emmert's face on it, and then you see this guy dressed like kind of like a hobo cleaning the pool, and it's got Scott Woodward's face on it. So, lost to the sands of time.
I just remember that search being exactly like, I think I've said it before, exactly like George W. Bush's search for a vice president. You know, it's, hey, I'm going to hire Dick Cheney for the search, and Dick Cheney comes back and says, couldn't find anybody except me. Because Emmert was like, hey, I'm going to put Scott Woodward in charge to find the new AD, and he was the assistant AD. And I remember at the time going, why would he not offer himself for the job? It was
a
month
later.
He was interim, and he was going to be put in charge, you know. He's going to be put in charge of it. And I was like, why would he exhaust any effort in a search when he could obviously do it himself? You know, he's qualified or whatever. I just, it's ridiculous.
So, but I mean, he's now, you know, he went to Texas A&M and now he's at LSU, and I think he's generally respected as an athletic director. So I don't know, but,
I think, well, LSU is where he went to school, so it's kind of a,
but it's still
natural thing.
Yeah, but just because he went to school there doesn't mean that he would just automatically be a shoo-in to get the position. I mean,
I just loved it how when he got hired at Texas A&M, he, in his opening press conference, he said, he took a dig at the Seahawks, where he was like, it's the home of the real 12th man, not like that fake one in Seattle or something like that. And
right.
People in Seattle were all bitter about it. And it was like, he's 100% right, you fucking wimps. Jeez.
Yep.
Like, he's 100% right. We literally stole the 12th man thing from it, which is the stupidest fucking gimmick ever. Just be a Seahawk fan. But
there was something he said also during my interview with him that stuck with me, kind of in the same vein as what you just said, Joey. But I don't remember specifically what we were talking about, but we started comparing something at Washington to comparing. I think maybe it had to just basically do with whether or not Willingham would get the fourth year or whatever. But he was saying, but you know, down south with Alabama and LSU, you know, they take it a lot seriously, more seriously than we do here for Washington. They don't really have a balance that we have up here, a healthy balance. And we have kind of a more healthier perspective up here. And then, you know, fast forward, smash cut, as Corolla would say, he's at Texas A&M, and then he's at LSU. And so,
well, I would actually agree with that. It's like, our life does not revolve. Yeah, I would.
I'm not holding him at fault. I'm just saying it's an irony.
I know what you're talking about. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, I would agree with that. It's our lives up here don't hinge on a fake fucking game in May on a, you know, a spring day in May when it's, you know, pissing down rain or something, or even when it's nice and we can go like walk a dog on a trail instead of going to a fake college football game, you know. The only incentive I have to go to the spring game this year is because, you know, if it works out right, you know, my son would want to go like on the field or something and get a fucking autograph. But that's about it, you know.
Well,
I mean, I'm probably not going. Go ahead.
Oh, you got to factor in last year, so the spring game attendance had a huge effect on what happened in the games in 2023, right?
Big time.
Yeah. Big effect.
They counted that into the, like, when they played teams like, you know, say Oregon got like a, you know, they got the 7-point spot to start because they had more people at the spring game. The worst part of the Northwest, right?
I agree with you, but I am going to push back on one part. The photos that was representing our spring crowd looked horrible. It was like nine people in the stands or whatever.
I remember it was pouring down rain that day, and I actually went to the Mariners game later that night, and there was quite a few people at that Mariners game. Like that was a good crowd at the Mariners game. So it's not like people don't want to watch sports. It's people don't want to sit, you know, in Husky Stadium when it's pouring down rain if they don't have to. The fucking fake game, you know, we'll go sit in the rain when it's pouring sideways against, you know, well, we won't even do it when it's Arizona State anymore. That's why we had to get them out of the fucking conference, you know. But, yeah, you get what I'm saying. They'll draw 50,000 people in the rain when it counts.
We're talking about practice is what you're saying.
We're talking about practice.
That's literally what it is. We're talking about fans of teams, not even the actual teams or administrations, making arguments about practice and who goes to watch practice like that matters.
I mean, I get it. We quote unquote cover the team, but it's like I can watch it on TV and tell you the same thing. Like, oh, that guy looked good, and he looked like he's going to be the scrimmage hero of the year. And
the what of the year?
He's not going to show the scrimmage hero. You know the
right
the fucking the spring camp. Like, oh, you got to watch out for this guy, and then he has a. Three tackles on special teams, you know, in the 2024 season, you know.
And a forced fumble.
Yeah,
that forced fumble against Weber State.
Yep. And then we're going to watch the spring game. We're going to go, wasn't Carson Bruner playing more? You know, the same. We'll have the same narratives we always have.
Yeah, do you think that'll be a recurring theme this year, too?
Yes. I don't know what it is. Yes. I'm already dreading it. So.
It's a Chris Stevens thing?
Yeah. Well, Chris Stevens was 5'10", like 209 pounds or something. He was pretty small, but, yeah.
Every time he came on the field, big play.
Every time. I know he made a play.
Up.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, that was a weird, that poor kid.
Oh, and Hemp Hill. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder where Chris Hemp Hill is these days. I haven't had contact with him in probably 5 years now. And I'm not on Facebook, so.
Hang the banner.
Anyway.
Hang the banner.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't really either, but it just felt like the right thing to say.
Well, Derek's got a Derek's got a Chris Hemphill banner in his office.
Well, I remember I had it was somewhere in University Village. He and I met for lunch after the book came out, and I don't even know why I'm bringing that up. I just having flashbacks to that. I just felt so bad for him, and that guy should have had a real future, football wise, and the whole thing was just taken away. So.
Well, I mean, look at Marcel Reese. He was almost like DK Metcalf before DK Metcalf was DK Metcalf. You know what I mean? It was like he was like a 6'3", 230-pound wide receiver that ran like a gazelle, and
You remember that 98-yard TD reception he had from Locker?
That's fucking awesome. Yeah, I can picture in my head it was against Arizona. Yeah, it was
a
play action, and then they blew that game. Willie Tuitama. Some of the quarterbacks they lost to was just like, I mean, they had some players before their they had some players that were kind of before their time, Chris Hemphill was like, a Cam Chancellor before his, before Cam Chancellor,
That's
mean, it's, wow, how sad.
Very, very sad. And, damn it, I had a thought again and it left. Shit.
I don't know, did you guys hear the press conferences with Jed Fish, Brendan Carroll, and Steve Belichick?
Mm-mm.
I mean, Steve Belichick, it was like they, disguised his dad and put him up there to answer questions. It was the same. It was like boring. It was pretty funny. I listened to it the other day. Because I think
there's some odds in there.
KJR put it up on their podcast or whatever. So I was just like, I got nothing else to listen to right now. So I put it on, and they're like, are you gonna float around to position groups, or what position groups you gonna spend time in? He's like, I don't know. Find out when I get out there.
All right.
It was like uncomfortable. It was like an uncomfortable couple seconds pause, and then somebody else would ask him a question. He's like, I don't know. Never done college before. Just excited to get out there. And I was like, oh, God, I hope he's different in the meeting rooms. But Brendan Carroll's like, almost like a big. Giant version of his dad. He's kind of like sounds happy and stoked and excited about everything. And I was like, okay, well, it's a little refreshing. And Jed Fish is like we always say car salesman in a bad tone, but he sounds like a car salesman I would want to hire. If I owned a car dealership, I'd be like, that fucking guy, could sell a car to anybody right now, and he's selling the program, and we're going to be relentless, and we're going to work hard, and, my wife's a trooper, and she's taking care of my kids. They haven't even moved up here yet. They're working really hard, and, I mean, he's just selling the program.
He could sell a Magenta Prius to Purple Vase. That's how good he is. If Vegas still lives, he's at least laughing or shaking his head or smirking. I'm sure he's at least smirking. Because Puppy Love Sugar Steel would always publicly challenge Purple Bayes' masculinity and accuse him of driving a Magenta Prius. So, in case anybody doesn't follow where I'm going with that. So, Well, I guess we could start to close her down here. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? It's been fun.
Are there any questions?
Well, it's just filled with intrigue. A spring filled with intrigue.
I mean, I will say...
Shrouded in mystery.
Belichick looks terrible. He does not look good. I'm not enthused by... He looks just like...
Do you mean competency or health-wise, or what do you mean?
Like, appearance-wise. He just looks like... He legit looks like a homeless guy, and he just looks like bad.
He looks unhoused.
Yeah, unhoused. There you go. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, he looks like it looks like such a folly that it could work. You know what I mean? Like it looks like such a odd. Like an odd,
yeah, I know what you mean. It's
higher
like,
that it might work. Like it's like so weird, you know.
If he's good at coaching defense, then so be it, you know.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like one of those things that, like, whatever happens, it's gonna be like, see, if he sucks, they're gonna be like, yeah, it wasn't an obvious. He looked like he was unhoused and unwashed, and they grabbed him out of. They grabbed him out of the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Yeah, yeah. Or it's going to be like, see, the guy's just, he's only focusing on football, so he hasn't been, you know, he doesn't give a shit about how he looks. But it's either going to, it's going to justify, the outcome no matter which one it is. So, yeah, that's pretty sweet, which
we're going to be first in the conference in defense or last. You know, it's not going to be a middle ground. We're either going to be like, I'm totally with Wooly Doo, guys. You know, we're not going to say like, well, we're just kind of, you know, hovering in the middle. It's going to be like, well, look at the guy.
Yeah.
No wonder it didn't work. Or we're going to say, I don't know what it is about the guy. I mean, look at him, but he's doing something right, you know, because everything's working.
Yeah.
Everything's working.
Speaking of which, I was in a conversation with someone yesterday, and they were asking about L.A., and I was like, they were like, oh, they don't have, like, a subway system. I'm like, yeah, they do. I took it. I was where a person took it, and they were like, she was like, were there, like, normal people on it? Like, I hate to say normal people, that I tried to, like, respond with, like, I was trying to say homeless person without saying homeless person because I don't know what the correct term is, and I just gave up and trailed off.
Junkie.
Yeah. I was like,
junkie, meth head.
You're going to get offended by the homeless person. Fentanyl. Person.
Well, what do they look like? Are you familiar with Steve Belichick?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, they look like Steve Belichick. Yeah. I don't even.
I send pictures to Wooly Doo all the time of all the single women I see on the streets during my, you know, during my working hours.
You know, you didn't context that well at all because that's
all the single,
creepy.
all the homeless single women out there, all the unhoused single women, all the kids and all the unhoused. Yeah.
What he's trying to context is the cliche, the bad cliche of like people like, well, you got one person got laid off at Boeing, you know, and the next thing you know, a single mom, her husband left. They both got laid off at Microsoft and Boeing, and next thing you know, they're on the street. It's like, no, it's someone you went to high school with who, you know, 85 people, you know, put a bunch of, like, a lot of effort into trying to help them out, and they eventually gave up, and they won't take their meds and they're on crack, and that's what happens. But yeah, it's pretty sweet, you know. I think, if you saw Steve Belichick just walking around the university district, you might think he's only not the son of the greatest football coach of all time and the G coordinator.
You pull your 6-year-old child a little closer to you. And...
I wonder if any students like been walking home from like a restaurant with leftovers in a to go box.
I'm not joking. Like, it literally.
So I've seen photos.
Yeah, he like sat down in front of a restaurant. Like, someone might drop off some food for him.
Here, buddy.
Like,
we just came from Schultz's. Here.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like a for better or worse thing with, like, you know, because college coaches have so much of the just like bad used car salesman energy, which I do like Fish, because as Joey said, like, he's got the used car salesman energy, but I don't think he's like trying to hide it. He's not like trying to be like come across as like some good guy.
I think he's kind of,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's like, yeah.
He's trying to sell a program and not being like, you know, bashful about it. He's just like, yeah, this is what we're gonna do, and you know. We're gonna work.
Yeah,
it's gonna be relentless, you know, and we're gonna work hard at recruiting. Like he's talking about recruiting being,
yeah,
you know, so important, which is selling the program, you know.
Yeah, which most coaches will be like, oh, we're not talking about recruiting. We're talking about our guys. We're gonna get, like, it's all about culture, and you know, we're gonna win the day and that shit. Like, he doesn't seem to be interested in that stuff.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
you know, going back to your statement of sending me pictures of single women, which I want stricken from,
nobody's
from the record.
I'm not going to get Me Too.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, I was picturing De Niro and Taxi Driver, but okay.
Well, it takes me back to when I was 10 years old, and my best friend, we were in the good care of my best friend's Uncle Winnie, who was not actually his uncle, I later found out, just a family friend, and we had some time to kill, and we were like 10, and he was like, well, do you want to park over at the Thrifty Foods and watch the women come out? We're like, even at 10, I was like, what did that sentence come out of your mouth? Go to the Thrifty Foods and feed your woolly and watch the women come out. Not like, hey, we're going to go check out babes. We're just going to watch them come out, you know, they're shopping.
And then snap photos and send them to Woolly Dude.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, yeah, I think I'm a big fan of Fish's wife, because, you know, I'm a, you know, connoisseur of these single women that he sends me photos of. But usually, you know, college football coaches, they do this thing where they kind of have like a pretty wife, where it's like they're kind of like snark, and they're kind of trying to sell this, like, you know, package. They're like good guy, like they're family guy, instead of just having a hot wife. I'm like, no, his wife kind of just looks like a hot chick who probably has a boob job and is kind of like hot, where I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what he is. He's not like looking to be like this fake, you know, bullshit, like, ah, my high school sweetheart who I cheat on every fucking weekend, like secretly type of stuff. So I'm a big fan of that.
Did you ever hear the story of him, you know, dating his wife or whatever? Like, he worked for it might have been the Texans or something like that. And she lived in Dallas or something like that. He met her at some kind of conference or whatever. And he was like, oh yeah, I live in Dallas. Like, he lied to her. And he's like, oh yeah, I live in Dallas, or because he, you know, was basically smitten by her, and so he lies to her, and he says, like, well, then I had to drive like 4 hours every time we, you know, went on a date on the weekend or whatever. So then he had to like make up some excuse to wherever he was working, like, oh yeah, I got to drive to Dallas or for whatever, you know, Like, that was his, like, he's a salesman. Like, he sold his wife on marrying him, you know.
You've got 12 older brothers? Yeah, I'm living with 6 of them now in Saudi.
Yeah. Well, and then that story of him wanting to go to the, like, you've heard the OJ trial story, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like that
story,
too.
He told
that on
the ESPN interview.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Neuheisel tells that story all the time, and Jed Fish joked about it. Like, he can't not tell that story on any interview, you know, when he talks about me, you know. And, like, that story is just, yeah, that's another great story of a Jed Fish, you know, sales job.
Meanwhile, perseverance. Yeah, Steve Belichick looked like he'd expect to be arrested coming out of a hand job place with Mitch in the morning.
Poor Mitch.
All right.
No, he definitely Steve looks like if Jed Fish is a lawyer, then Steve Belichick is the guy he's defending, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely looks like a day shift strip club patron.
All right, well. Shall we pay homage to Race Bannon's great quote this week? Well, we won't have Will Nixon to kick around anymore. I thought that was a great one.
Yeah, in my multiverse, he's still dropping that. Every multiverse version of college football, he's dropping that fucking 3rd and 4 pass. So good for him. Go play for North Texas. Have fun.
Well, you know.
I'm not shooting on him. I'm pretty sure they told him, like, I posted, you know, the running back depth next year is actually really good. Like, he's not a guy who's like Kalepo or Buelo or Bernard and Brailsford, where it's like, fuck you. Why are you like we actually need you. He's the good case of transferring where you're like, yeah, kind of glad you can go find somewhere to actually play.
And he shouldn't have been in that killer, but
he shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. You know, fucking DeBoer and company should have went to fucking Oregon State and someone and bagged some fucking good running back and not relied on fucking perpetually injured Dylan Johnson and Cam Davis, who averages 3.8 yards per carry.
Well, who is the they've got a new like running back commit, you know, and somebody was kind of like meh on it, you know, and I forget who it was that put on the thread about like, hey, he would go to Oregon State and fucking be conference player of the year or something like that. But now we're finally recruiting
about that. I think it was Fudgy.
It was Fudgy. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, it's 100% what we talk about. It's like Oregon State finds these guys every fucking year and we can't ever seem to find, you know, or, well, we can, but not like they can or whatever. You know, we're always going for some 4 or 5-star guy, and they seem to find some 3-star running back that does the same thing we always want, you know.
I think part of that, Utah's the same. I think those guys, you know, they're like, a lot of times, you know, this guy, we would like him, but he couldn't get into, you know, West Texas Christian Tech junior college with his grades. And Oregon State or Utah are like, you already got arrested for like domestic violence meets 14. And Oregon State and Utah are like, hey, sign him up. Or the Huskies, I'm sure they go to someone and they're like, we can't take this guy. So, but I think Fish played ball with that stuff, and hopefully he's convinced the the higher ups to be like, well, we're not going to be able to compete in sports. We're going to go bankrupt if we continue to take the moral high ground. So we got to get some guys in school. So hopefully that isn't the case. Though I do think also running back now is probably like the number one position where you should be able to be like, hey, this guy at Central Michigan, 5'10", 225, and can move. Let's just take that guy and get him to come here. I think running back is the number one position where the future is just like, go find someone in the portal for the most part.
Well, Jonah Coleman, as long as the blocking is halfway competent, he should be a good impact. So, but we'll see. So, alrighty.
Alrighty.
Gentlemen, it's been fun. It took us a little while to get the old engine warmed up, but ended up being good football talk. I wasn't sure what we were gonna get, and
we kind of took our detours down memory lane in honor of Andy, the old
poster.
Yeah,
we just bring him up. Yep, rest in peace.
Like I said, I like to parody him or whatever, but it was more in fun, and he was never a reason I left that site. So, rest in peace. You know, hope his family's okay.
And April 19th at the Sports Keg in Burlington. I can't remember if we said 6:30 or 7. I probably would have said 7, right? On a Friday night. Will anybody that's up north there will be hanging out. And any word on our special guest possibility, or is that still we haven't talked about that.
Well,
even privately,
the special guest is a no, but working on local legends showing up. I'll just say that
George the Animal Steel. I'm just throwing out a
the only pro wrestler I think that lives around here is Kevin Sullivan, but yeah.
By the way, did we get turned down by said special guest?
No, I looked into it, and it's more of a, you'd have to advertise it to basically the public or something like that. So I was like,
okay.
Basically the restaurant would have to know ahead of time and be able to advertise it, I think. And I was like, no, not doing that.
Fair enough. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was intriguing thought for a moment there.
It was.
That's all that counts. So, all right, guys. Well, it's been fun, and we'll be seeing each other in person there less than 3 weeks from now, right? 3 weeks? Yeah. 20 days from now.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll do a pod between now and then, but it's possible. So, all right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Hardcore Husky Podcast. This show is copyrighted material. In other words, stop plagiarizing our shit, fuckos. So please tell a friend and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, especially you cheap bastards who don't donate. It's the least you could do. Yeah, I'm looking at you, creepy coog. And come join our fun over at hardcorehusky.com. We've got Husky Football, Yellow Snow's Record Shop, and our notorious Tug Tavern, which is a shit show of politics and strange news. And if you enjoy yourself and are ready for the next level of cyber
peyote,
come join Swain's Wigwam. I'm going to have to read this over.
Sway's Wigwam, yeah.
Sway's Wigwam at Navajo Nation's Gift to College Football. It's also the official private club of Hardcore Huskies. We're talking boobs, guns, and inside information. All for the low fee of $129 a year. Come join the fun. I'll have to redo that one, but...